The sermon today is about the gifts God gives to his church. So just as I'm setting up, I want you to turn to the person next to you and answer this simple question. What was the best gift you got for Christmas? Discuss. Okay. So hold on to that thought. Can we just get a bit of feedback? What were some of the best gifts we got for Christmas? Anyone want to just shout out? Yeah. Oh, a Kindle. Very nice, a Kindle. Anyone on this side? Best gift you got for Christmas? Yeah. Half a day off. Oh, goodness. Anyone else? What's the best gift we got for Christmas? Anyone? Yeah, a bit of time. Bit of time with the family, yeah. I think the best gifts I got for Christmas was a massive lunch on Christmas Day, which I didn't cook. And then a massive lunch on Boxing Day, which again I didn't have to cook. I'm kind of food orientated this year, I think. So as we go through the sermon today, the main thing I want to take from the sermon, the takeaway message is on the screen here, that the church family is like a body with Jesus at the head. God makes the whole body fit together with perfection. He gives wonderful gifts and talents to people inside the church to help the church family grow so that the whole body can be happy, healthy and holy and growing in love. To take us on a journey through our sermon, I want to answer three questions. What are we being asked to give towards transformation? How is this transformation worked out in our lives today? And where will this transformation lead our future lives and our church? Throughout the sermon, I'll be quoting a variety of scriptures, Old and New Testaments. I do this for two reasons. Firstly, because it's very important to me that everything I say is Bible-based. You know, built on the solid foundation of God's word. And secondly, I'll tell you chapters, but not verses, because I'd love you to note down what I say, where it comes from, and go away and do your own little Bible study throughout the week. And then you could get a whole week's worth of Bible study from one Sunday sermon. As you know, I come with a real wealth of experience in youth ministry. And when I give talks to young people, as well as the biblical input, I often use visual symbols, which helps them visually understand what I'm trying to communicate. And as this sermon focuses on the transformation Jesus' love can bring to an individual and the life of the church family, I've got this picture, especially for the young people in the house today. I want you to think of the image of transformation in nature, from a caterpillar on the left into a cocoon, and from a cocoon into a butterfly. Let me explain that image. The purpose of the sermon is that our life before Jesus is kind of like that of a caterpillar, slowly going through the motions of waking, eating, sleeping, surviving, repeating. The 9-to-5 daily life, you know? But then when we meet Jesus transforming love, our perspective, our lives become transformed too. We start to turn away from bad influences in our lives. We start to turn away from bad media, movies, messages, perhaps people that aren't good influences. And we begin to cocoon ourselves away from the outside world and begin to spend more time with the church family, more time in fellowship groups, in life groups. And this period is really marked when we make that decision of commitment through the symbol of baptism. Who remembers fondly their baptism? I can remember mine. It was very, very wonderful. I had not just my family, but my extended family, my godparents, the whole church family. And it was a wonderful symbol of commitment, of transformation to new life. That as we go down into the water, it's as if our old life is buried with Christ. 2 Colossians 2. And then when we're raised to new life, it's like we're raised with him through faith, starting a completely new life. Just as the butterfly enters this completely new life, it's completely changed. It bears no resemblance to the caterpillar. That's for the young people. So let's take a deeper look at this transforming love and the gifts of God, which can help us take our place as part of the church family. Let's turn to our first scripture, if we can, the second slide. So, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. To try and answer that first question, what are we being asked to give towards transformation? I'd say we are being asked to give our everyday, ordinary lives. Not just Christmas, Easter, and Mother's Day. Not just Sunday, but every day. We're going to close our worship today by singing a song originally by Francis Havergal. Or it might be Havergavel, I don't know. It's updated by Chris Tomlin, which is much easier to say. And it's the song Take My Life and Let It Be. A wonderful old hymn. And the lyrics are very precious and relate to this verse. It says, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful to thee. It's really a song about taking our everyday, ordinary life and offering it up to God. And the transformation of Jesus' love can completely change our lives into lives that are colorful, creative, and courageous. But God can only transform that which we give him. So if we only give him a few hours a week, then that's all he's got to work with, right? But Jesus said in John 10, I came that you might have a rich and satisfying life. To see that kind of transformation, we have to give him everything. And it sounds like a big task, doesn't it? To give God everything. But with God, all things are possible. But remember Jesus' words in Matthew 26, when the disciples are supposed to be awake, but they're sleeping. It's a problem I often have with youth ministry, actually, you know. The teenagers are supposed to be awake in church, but they're sleeping, you know. And Jesus says to the disciples, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's strange, our spirits may be the strongest part of our being, and yet we're not asked to give our strength, we're asked to give our weakness, our bodies. The very thing that causes us into temptation and brings us into sin, the weakest part of our being. That's what we're asked to give as a living sacrifice. But remember Jesus' words in 2 Corinthians 12, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So with the transforming love of Jesus, our greatest weaknesses are turned into our greatest strengths. Your future, then, is about finding the transforming love of Jesus for your own life, and then finding out how that transforming love can change the lives of those around you. Kind of with the image of the butterfly, bringing the color and the freedom of a butterfly into those whose lives feel like they're slowly just trudging through life like a caterpillar. It must be much more interesting to be a butterfly than a caterpillar, right? Those that are slowly going through the day-to-day, 9-to-5 life, and in their hearts they're going, oh, is there more to life than this? The Alpha Course famously asked that question. Who's ever done an Alpha Course? It famously asked that question, is there more to life than this, right? Well, much, much more, but the key to that transformation is Jesus. It all hinges around Jesus. It all focuses around Jesus. And it's interesting that the caterpillar, to go into the transformation, it needs to cocoon itself. It makes a choice to cocoon itself. And in the same way, actually, we have to make that choice. Sure, we make that choice on a Sunday morning, you know, get out of bed, have a strong coffee. I had a double, and come to church. But we have to make that choice throughout the week to kind of cocoon ourselves into devotional time, Bible reading, prayer, fellowship time. So as we begin to think about how this transformation's worked out in our lives, let's turn back to Scripture for our next slide. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings out the best of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You know, today's media, the TV, movies, and magazines, often communicates this message. Follow your heart. Follow your feelings. I would say follow the Bible, right? Your heart is soft, but it's kind of like sand. It's easy to build up and to shape, but then it's easy to tear down. Whereas the Bible is more difficult. It's like a rock. It takes time to build upon the rock, but it's firm, and we can trust it. Culture says, follow your feelings and let them decide who you are, how you live, and what you become. But Christianity says, follow Scripture. It's much harder to build upon the rock than on the sand. It takes a lot of more time to build our foundations. But you know the parable? When the rain and the storms of life come, which house survives? It's the one built on the rock, isn't it? And the world will say, well, please yourself. You know, live to please yourself. But the Bible says, please God. And that's a very, very different cultural sentiment for us today, isn't it? That we're supposed to please God and to be pleasing to God. It's much easier to just go through it, to just live as we want and to please ourselves. So why shouldn't we, you know? Why shouldn't we just live comfortable lives, indulge in every passion and following every feeling? In Galatians 6, it tells us, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You know, the reward for building on the rock is that we get eternal life in heaven. But that's not all. When I was a teenager, my youth leader, who must be 70 or 80 now, you know, he always used to say, it's not pie in the sky when you die, but steak on the plate while you wait. You know, the steak on the plate while we wait is actually that we can be friends with God, that we can have a relationship with God, and that we can be part of the church family. So fix your attention on God, and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you, and be quick to respond to it. For God brings out the best in you. Isn't that what we want? To be the best version of ourselves? I can't do that by myself. I need God to bring that out of me. And I just want to be clear that a big part of my ministry is all about encouragement and not judgment. So actually, I have no judgment for any of you who, the person you were yesterday, for the times that you haven't fixed your attention on God, or have focused on ungodly things or graphic things. I've got no judgment for anyone's past or previous mistakes. Instead, all I've got for the past is mercy, grace, and forgiveness. And ultimately, all I want to do is kind of hold up this bright and colorful future that with God, all things are possible. And hold up that wonderful promise in Jeremiah 29. I'm sure we all know it off by heart, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You know, that's what God wants to do. God wants us to look forwards to what He has for us. Not just in our own lives, but in the church as well. The wonderful things God has for the church. One of my favorite verses that I always remembered as a teenager is this, so instead we focus our minds on this, leaving the past behind and looking forward to what lies ahead. Philippians 3. So look forward and fix your attention on God and godly things. And over time, you'll be able to attain the whole measure and fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4. Simply, to use the imagery, you'll be transformed from the inside out like a caterpillar going into a cocoon and coming out as a butterfly. So let's look back at Scripture now and see what else will help us understand how this transformation of being coming like Jesus has worked out in our lives. Our next slide. For by the grace given me, I say to each one of you, don't think more highly than you ought, but think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of us. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we were trying to illustrate with the shirt and the one arm. I don't know if you got that. That each member belongs to all the others, and we need to come together. St. Paul is urging us to focus not on external factors, but on our internal personality and character. To have humble hearts and remember our position in Christ. What is our position? Am I talking about yoga? No, I'm talking about our position in Christ. And it's twofold. Firstly, we are God's children. And secondly, we're God's servants. And that's a very, very interesting thing, because nowhere else in our lives do we have that. That you could be someone's child and their servant. Galatians 3, so in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. And 1 Corinthians 4, this is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ, those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. We're indeed God's beloved children through faith in Christ. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves of Christ. It's kind of like when you became a child of God. That's a wonderful image that as you raise up through baptism, you're not just joining onto a religion, but you're becoming God's child. Isn't that wonderful? And we're indeed God's beloved children, but we're also God's servants. And that's the thing that we're really trying to get with the kids here. He's harmless, isn't he? Literally, armless. His arms have fallen off. That there are different body parts, there are different gifts and graces given to the church to build up the body of Christ. So now let's come on to the final question. Where will this transformation lead our lives? Let's turn to Scripture one final time. Romans 12, 6 to 8. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. Encouraging, then encourage. If it is giving, give generously. If it is leading, do it diligently. And if it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, our aim as church isn't that one person should have all of these gifts. They should be like a super Christian. Sometimes we think that our reverend or our minister should be doing all of this, should have all of these gifts. But that's a very unhealthy picture of church, isn't it? Actually, that what Romans 12 is encouraging us is that the gifts are given to each different people throughout the body of Christ. So in the church family, there should be these variety of gifts. And each of us comes together to do our little bit to build up the body and the church family. So let's take a look, as we begin to close, at what these different gifts are. And in the back of your minds, be thinking, I wonder if I've got one of these gifts. I wonder if I can do one of these things. Before we do that, though, I just want to turn our attention to the cross. You know, when we use the gifts God has given us, it's like we're making an offering or a sacrifice. And we've got to remember that the sacrifices we make in our lives are actually built upon the wonderful and perfect sacrifice of the Lord on the cross. So any good deed we do, we're not just doing it by ourselves, but we're doing it as part of the bigger picture, to build up his family. And Jesus says in Matthew 10 that even if you give a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you'll be rewarded. Even the smallest little act of service will be rewarded. So every time you serve, teach, lead, give, encourage, you'll not only be rewarded yourself, but you'll be building up God's family and his kingdom. There's a wonderful verse in Ephesians 2 where Paul writes, "We are God's masterpiece." We, not I. I'm not saying I'm God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. For he created us in Christ Jesus to do good things that he planned for us long ago. Isn't that wonderful? That even before God created the world, he planned your life, planned your gifts, and planned the wonderful service and the wonderful things you do for him. So now let's look at the gifts and graces God has given us and how we can use them. So we'll go through one at a time. I've highlighted them. First, if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy. Prophecy isn't to be confused with teaching or preaching. Prophecy is when God gives a specific word for the building up of the church. Perhaps it's a specific Bible verse. Who reads the Bible in the week? Yeah? Perhaps when we're going through our Bible, reading it in the week, there's a verse that jumps out at us. Right? And it seems to speak into the season that the church is in. And we've got this kind of passion that we should share that, right? That's kind of like prophecy. God is using us to speak prophetically into the church. Perhaps it's an image that we have in our minds. Maybe when we're worshiping, where we're praying, when we're reading the Bible, we kind of have a picture. And we feel again that there's a specific meaning behind that picture for the building up of God's church. I think that's very important, that prophecy should be used to build up and to encourage, not to tear down and destroy. Sometimes you get people that will be like, "Ah, God wants to say this to you." And you're like, "Oh no." It's not about that. It's about building up the body of Christ. So the second gift, serving. And the word here is actually deacon, as in Acts chapter 6. It's the type of person who's very practical, who really cares for the practical needs of the church. When I was at Little Wonders on Friday, we had all these toys everywhere. And you don't have like a separate building. And I was thinking, where are all these toys going to go, you know? And Vicky told me that underneath the sound desk, Ron has built a wonderful storage device. And I was quite amazed by that. And it fulfilled that practical need. And so that's very much the gift of service, caring for that practical need. Kind of being like the handyman. My granddad on my mother's side was the deacon, the handyman in his church. He had that gift of service. Kind of like a Christian Bob the Builder in many ways. If there was ever something that needed fixing, mending, or building, he'd be there, caring for the practical needs of the church and community. I, on the other hand, aren't good at that. You know. I wonder how many Baptists it would take to change a light bulb, you know. But if you've got that gift of service, then that's your thing. The next gift, teaching. If your gift is teaching, then teach. Applying scriptural, Bible-based theology appropriately, relevantly, and humbly to build up the brothers and sisters in the church. 1 Timothy 5 tells us that there's double honor for the teacher, but James 3 says that not all of you should teach, because those who teach will be judged more strictly. So when we come to preach, it's actually a very serious thing, isn't it? It's a very serious season of life, that we are almost God's messengers, unveiling and opening his word to build up the church. Next one, we've had prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging. Now we're looking at giving. If your gift is to give, then do it generously. You're most generous when the cause or the charity really touches your heart. I just want you to think for a second. What's your favorite charity? You don't need to tell me, but just have it in your head. For my mum, her favorite charity is Tear Fund. And she puts so much time, energy, and resources into the charity Tear Fund. Have we heard of that? Tear Fund? And once a year, she'll organize Tear Fund Sunday in her church, getting everyone together to really think about the charity and the work they're doing. So the question for us today is, what charity is on your heart? You know, what charity do you believe in? For me, a Tear Fund, I think it's because my mum badgered me into it. Also, Save the Children. I really like that one. And of course, there are many more. But we must always remember Luke 12, where Jesus says that when we give in secret, there'll be treasure waiting for us in heaven. So we don't give by like ringing a bell or going on Facebook or on TV and saying, hey, I gave 50 grand. You know, that's not what it's about. It's about giving in secret. And we do see that in our culture, don't we? Famous philanthropists. I'd be impressed if you can say that. That we see on TV heralded as giving millions and billions. Well, is that it's a wonderful thing, but is it a wonderful way to then communicate it to the world? To say, oh, I'm so generous. Yeah, wonderful. Be generous, but do it secretly. Because God will reward you for what you do in secret. And the next one, after giving, is leading. So leading isn't just about Sunday morning worship services, Michael. We're doing a wonderful job. There are actually a variety of groups, ministries, and communities that we see lead in. Little Wonders, Sprouts, Life Groups, Children's Groups, Youth Groups, Alpha Groups, House Groups, Coffee Morning Groups. Hopefully a variety of groups where we get to eat as well. The list goes on, right? So if you're in leadership, make the group amazing. Make it awesome. Do it to the best of your ability. My granddad on my father's side, when he was younger, he used to lead services a bit like Michael in his church. He'd also lead a life group. And whenever I spoke to him about it, his eyes always lit up, you know? He always had these funny little stories that he'd tell me about how the service was falling apart, but he kept it together. You could tell he was really passionate about what he was doing. He really believed in it. And so I think that the thing for us to take is when we're leading, let's do it in a way that our eyes light up, that we're really passionate about what we're doing, that we believe in it. And finally, if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. This is perhaps one of the more difficult gifts to practice. Similar to encouragement, but the focus is on encouraging those who are going through really difficult times. Perhaps it's bereavement, unemployment, very difficult seasons of life. It's to sympathize with the misery of another, to comfort the afflicted, to care and have compassion on those in need. And it's kind of intermingled with the gift of encouragement as well. It's not saying to someone, oh, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. No, it's going with that person in the midst of that tunnel and being that light for them, being Jesus and getting by their side. I often do this in my current setting, pastoral support, sitting down with someone, having a cup of tea, and just letting them talk about what's going on. And the wonderful thing about this gift is that you don't need to have all the answers. You just need to be a listening ear. And there's a lot of freedom in that, that actually we don't need to be able to sort someone's problems out. We just need to show that we're there for them, right? That we're there for them in those difficult times. And kindness and mercy and forgiveness are kind of intertwined. In Matthew 5, we hear that those who show mercy on others will be shown mercy by God. Those who forgive others will then be forgiven by God. And remember, with all of these different gifts, prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, leading, mercy, God loves a cheerful giver. God loves it when we don't give begrudgingly. Oh, I've got to go, you know. I've got to do the group, I've got to do this. God loves it when we're looking forward to it, when our eyes light up. 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a cheerful giver. So whatever our gift is, it's the gift of singing maybe. Remember that God has given it, and it's our choice if and when we use it. But the healthiest body or church family is one where every person has a little ministry, where everyone wants to be involved, not to be a passive passenger, but part of the team, part of the crew. And what I've seen over the weekend with you is that there are so many different ways you can connect with church. There are so many different ministries that you can be involved in. It's not just, you know, Sunday morning from 10 till 12, but there are so many different groups. And that's a wonderful sign of a healthy church. And that's very good. That God has given those gifts and you're using those gifts. So I just want to kind of encourage you and be like, well done, you know. Carry on. Wonderful. You are blessed to be a blessing and your gifting will increase the more you use it to build up the body of Christ. Finally. Always remember that as well as being a servant, you are God's beloved child. And that is the foundation that you build upon and rest secure in. That God loves you. He always has. He always will. You are a beloved son or daughter of the Most High God. Amen.